My name is Darlin Robinson. Of the hundreds of denominations today, baptism is practiced in one of three ways: either sprinkling, pouring, or immersing. Now, obviously all three can't be right. The word baptize is a verb, and a verb expresses one specific action instead of several. Hence, the Bible never speaks of a mode of baptism. The only way we can account for that is that the word baptize is one specific act and tells exactly what's to be done. Sprinkling is one specific act, pouring likewise, and immersing. Now, if for each one act you add them together, that's three. But yet, baptism only defines one specific act. If the word baptize means sprinkling, then it doesn't mean pouring and immersing. If it means pouring, then it doesn't mean sprinkling and immersing. And if it means immersing, then it doesn't mean sprinkling and pouring. If the word baptize doesn't mean one specific act, but involves and includes sprinkling, pouring, and immersing, all three, then no person could be baptized until he's done all three. No one believes that. So only one action can possibly be right. So the question is it sprinkling, pouring, or immersing? Now, let's turn to the Bible and see. What does it say? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, we notice that water is mentioned in connection with the baptism. So now let's apply that to sprinkling, pouring, and immersing. Is water necessary to sprinkle? Well, of course, we answer yes. Is water necessary to pour? Yes. Is water necessary to immerse? Well, of course it is. But there's more. Let's turn to John 3:23. And here we read where John the Baptizer was baptizing in Enon because there was much water there. Does it take much water to sprinkle? Well, no. Does it take much water to pour? No. Does it take much water to immerse? Well, yes, it does. It has to be enough to cover the entire body. In Acts 8:38, it is said that they went down into the water. Does a person have to go down into the water to sprinkle? No. Does a person have to go down into the water to pour? No. Does a person have to go down into the water to immerse? Well, certainly does. Now let's look at Romans 6 and verse 4. There it says that baptism is a burial, and that we're buried with him in baptism. Does a burial take place when one is sprinkled? No. Does a burial take place when one is poured? No. Does a burial take place when one is immersed? Well, of course it does. Friend, are you getting the picture here? Let's go on, look in Colossians 2 and verse 12. There we read, there is a resurrection when one is baptized. Is there a resurrection when one is sprinkled? No. Is there a resurrection when one is poured? No. Is there a resurrection when one is immersed? Yes, because the Bible says one comes up out of the water. In John 3 and verse 5, we read that baptism involves a birth. Is there a birth when you're sprinkled? No. Is there a birth when you're poured? No. Is there a birth when you're immersed? Yes, because again, one comes up out of and symbolizing a birth. In Hebrews 10:22, we read that our bodies are washed in baptism. Is our body washed when we're sprinkled? Well, no. Is our body washed when we're poured? No. Is our body washed when we're immersed? Yes, it is, because it covers, again, the entire body. In Acts 8:39, we read there's a coming up out of the water. Does one have to come up out of the water when sprinkled? No. Do you come up out of the water when you're poured? No. Do you come up out of the water when you're immersed? Well, yes. Every place we read about baptism, you'll always find the same. And so we need to let the Bible speak concerning the subject and not what man says. The teaching and practicing of sprinkling and pouring is not found in the Bible. And of course, since they're not in the Bible, that means they originated with man. And every man who sprinkles or pours for baptism must at the last day face the Lord and answer. But there'll be no answer given from the Bible because it cannot be found there. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says immersion. It is in these same words that the Bible gives that we'll be judged one day, according to Jesus in John 12 and verse 48. He also said in Matthew 15:9 that in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. And sprinkling and pouring are the doctrines of men. Let's take a moment to look at the testimony of men who founded churches and are great denominational leaders and recognized by such even in the world today. What did they say? Martin Luther of the Lutheran Church said, "Baptism is a Greek word and may be translated immersion as when we immerse something in water, that is, it's wholly covered." John Calvin said, "The word baptize signifies to immerse, and it is certain that immersion was the practice of the ancient church." John Wesley said, "We are baptized with him," alluding to the ancient manner of baptizing by immersion. Lyman Coleman said, "The primary signification of the original is to dip, plunge, immerse. The obvious import of the noun is immersion." Edinburgh Encyclopedia says, "In the time of the apostles, the form of baptism was very simple. The person to be baptized was dipped in a river or a vessel." In the Liddell and Scott, we read that baptizo, the Greek word, means to dip in or under water. In Thayer's Greek English Lexicon, baptizo means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, submerge. The Greek Catholic Church testifies that immersion was the original practice, and they even continue that practice today. The Roman Catholic Church admits that immersion was the original practice. The Church of England admits that immersion was the original practice. The Methodist Church approves of immersion and even immerses those who request it. However, when we turn to Webster's Dictionary, we find they say that baptize means to dip or immerse in water, or to pour or sprinkle water upon. Well, there's nothing surprising about that because the function of a dictionary is to give the present day usage of certain words. So the word carries all three meanings today because that's how people use it. But if men should begin to put their feet in water and call that baptism, well, the dictionary then would give that as one of the meanings too, because that's what people do or how they practice a certain thing. But none of these men nor Webster's is the authority. The Bible is the authority. We've got to seek to understand what the word meant in the beginning, in the first century, as it's used in the Bible. So how did all these unscriptural practices, such as sprinkling and pouring, get started? Let's first take a look at what men have done in the past. Now again, this is what men have done, not what God says, not what the Bible teaches. But we'll look at what men says, because that's where we're asking the question, where did this stuff come from? The first recorded case of so-called baptism by effusion, that is, the act of pouring, is that of Novatian in 251 A.D. He received pouring as he lay in bed. It was at first the exception to the rule, being administered to only those who were sick and could not get out of bed. But finally, the exception became the accepted practice. Now, let's look at the testimony of Karl Heffel. He was a Catholic bishop. He said, "The church has always been tender toward the sick, and for that reason, she introduced clinical baptism." That statement was taken from page 153 of a Catholic book entitled The History of Church Councils. And notice again, he readily admitted that it's not in the Bible. The Catholic Church started it. It was called clinical baptism because it was administered to the sick. The Catholic Church claims no scriptural authority for sprinkling, but rather admits that they're the ones who started it. Now, sprinkling for baptism, however, was not legalized by the Catholic Church until A.D. 1311. Now, I quote, "The Council of Ravenna in 1311 legalized the baptism of sprinkling, but the practice of clinical or bedside baptism had long been in use and had spread from the sick room to the churches, end quote. That statement is taken from Johnson's Universal Cyclopedia, Volume 1, page 488. Now, I don't mean or wish to misrepresent anyone, but this is why I've taken these quotes from their own books. These facts are not denied by any informed person, Catholic or Protestant. Those who practice sprinkling for baptism have no higher authority for it than the Roman Catholic Church. They claim that their church has the authority to alter the Word of God and to substitute sprinkling for baptism, but the Bible says no. Neither the Catholic Church nor any other church nor any man has the authority to change the will of God on any subject. And there are very strict warnings about doing so. Do not add to or take from, such as in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. The word baptize is not an English word. The New Testament was written in the Greek language. And in translating it into English, the translators left the Greek word untranslated. Why it was done is not altogether known. And why the more modern translations have not translated it into English by the word immerse is still a mystery. But nonetheless, the Greek word is baptizo, and the definition of that word is to immerse. There is a definite word for sprinkle. It's rantizo. There's a definite word for pour. It's cheo. Well, if God wanted us to recognize sprinkling, He would have used the word for sprinkling. If He wanted us to recognize pouring, He would have used the word for pouring, but He didn't. He chose the word that indicates immersion. That is the word baptizo, to plunge, submerge, or to immerse. And for that reason, then we would call John the Baptist John the Immerser. We could even say John the Dipper, or John the Submerger, John the Planter, because it is a overwhelming, a covering. Friend, have you been sprinkled or poured? And if you have been, then you've never been baptized. You have never been baptized because baptism is an immersion. We've got to be careful with what we do because we've got to turn to the book, the Bible, and find a book, chapter, and verse. Here is the rightly dividing of the word of truth, and here's how we know the will of God. Won't you learn the will of God? Submit to Him, not me, not any man, but to the will of God. Baptism means to immerse, and it is essential for salvation. Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism is the way of God. Won't you be baptized today?